Well, hallelujah. You know what Pastor Gary is saying is very true. You know, when I get up in the morning, I feel very different when I just start waking up than I do right now. Because right now I'm in God's presence and anointing. I've got super victory. It's like everything's like flowing. All the pieces are together. But then I wake up in the morning and it just seems like blah. So I quickly try to praise God, pray in the Spirit. You know, sometimes I'll sing a song. You know, the Holy Spirit will help you in the morning to get you going. And these are things that we need. We just don't need God's presence in church. Boy, we need it like everywhere we go. So these are things that you can stir up. The Bible does command us to stir up the gifts. And He wouldn't have said that and disappoint us when we do it. So these are things that He wants us to do and encourages us to do. So hallelujah. You know, when Pastor Gary, Pastor Shelley, even myself, when we put together a message, we don't have a choice really of what to really talk about. Because I'm just so amazed at all the different stuff that all of a sudden comes to me, and we're teaching on these things. And so these are things that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, wants people to know. And it comes out a different way through Pastor Shelley, through Pastor Gary, or any other minister. But realize the Holy Spirit is here to help us and to teach us and to bring us to a place of, well, unity, of strength, of grace in our lives. So I was thinking during praise and worship that when you use the term beautiful, you know, for me, it's very hard to walk up to a man and say, "You are beautiful." You know, now I can walk up to my wife, I'm not going to get in trouble, and say, "You are beautiful." But I found myself saying to the Lord Jesus, "You're beautiful." And He is amazing. And it's sort of like if Pastor Gary and myself were out fishing, ice fishing. So Pastor Gary says, "Hey, go over there. There's some good fishing coming out of that hole." And so he's over here fishing out of his hole. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, the ice cracks. And I go plunging into the water. And Pastor Gary goes, "Wow, I got to get over there." And whatever he does, he pulls me out of the water and literally saves my life. You know, otherwise I would have been drowned, dead, end of Jeff. Now, from that point on, you know, when somebody saves your life, you know, there's really nothing you can do to repay them. "Oh, I won the lottery. I've just won $10 million. I'm going to give it to you." Well, is your life worth $10 million? It's worth more than that, you know. So there's literally nothing I could do to repay him. And what I could do is every time I see him, love him, give him respect, give him honor. "You doing okay today, Pastor Gary? How about we go down to the malt shop and have a chocolate shake or two?" And, you know, that's how I respond. There's no way that I could ever repay him. And it's an analogy to what Jesus did for us. I mean, falling through the ice and dying physically really is a little thing compared to spending eternity in hell. And Jesus saved us from that place. You know, we had one foot in hell, and somehow Jesus got to us and brought salvation to us and brought us into his family so we don't have to have that course in our life anymore. So that's why I say he's beautiful. because it goes beyond words. And of course, there's no way that I can repay him, but out of love and respect, I want to do everything that he wants me to do. And so that's our role. It's not out of a repayment. It's out of love. What can I do today, Jesus? And we're learning how to do that better too. But those are things that we should meditate on and think on, because when somebody saves your soul or saves your life, you're pretty bold to do whatever it takes to bless them and to do those things that need to be done. Yeah. So, hallelujah. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 5 tonight. Matthew chapter 5. Lots of good things in the Bible. In verse 13, it says, Matthew chapter 5, in the beginning of 5 and even into the end of chapter 4, it talks about crowds coming to Jesus, Jesus healing them, and then it kind of branches off, and it's like Jesus goes up on a mountain, and it you kind of get the impression that the crowds are there, but really he's teaching these things to his disciples, because he wants to get alone. This is his ministry team, and he wants to put some things into them, because he's eventually going to send them out to do the same things that he's doing. Preach, teach, heal, even told him to raise the dead. Hallelujah. So this is sort of traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to pick up in verse 13, and it says, Jesus saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." So, this is actually a very good deal at the Pig. It was like 55 cents. I was like amazed. But salt has a very, it has certain characteristics. You know, it seems like whatever it comes in contact with, it changes whatever it comes in contact with, whether it be water or it could be meat, it could be your French fries, you know, salad. I mean, all of a sudden, it transforms what you're eating into something else. And let's say, Mr. Salt gets up in the morning and he's sitting there and he's saying, "You know, I think today I'm going to be pepper." It can't be pepper because it's salt. You know, he's not getting up one morning and thinking, "Wow, I'm really going to try and be some salt today." It just, by its nature, it's salt. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But the salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot." So, before the Lord came into our lives, we lacked this characteristic. And the Lord transformed us in such a way. Let me back up. Jesus himself was salt because he affected us. He changed us. He transformed us. And so whatever Jesus was, we become because he's living inside of us. So salt, just to kind of prove my point here, I'm going to take this and pour this salt into this glass and just see if it changes the way this water tastes. Mm. there. Now, I do need a volunteer. Somebody thirsty in here? Can somebody just kind of verify that this just does taste a little bit salty? I thought about putting sugar in there, but no. No, don't drink it. Is it salty, Dennis? Okay. Now, this mixture wasn't trying to be salty. That's just what its nature and characteristics are. And as believers, we don't have to be, we don't have to try to be salty. The things, the people we come in contact with every single day, you know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and he's teaching and training us. And we all have a certain knowledge and a certain grace that he's given us. And as we walk with him, he speaks to us and tells us to do certain things. You know, I find that I don't witness to every person that I walk up to. But I find that I'm greeting people. I'm like being really full of joy when I meet people that I haven't seen for a while or even people I don't even know. And it's because of that grace and that salt that's in all of us, you know, that's meant to transform, preserve, and to flavor people's lives. And, you know, we can then show them where all this comes from. We can point them to Jesus. That's eventually where we're all going. So, next it says, now if anybody gets thirsty, you can come on up and grab that. All right, so next it says that you are the light of the world. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. But it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, you know, like they have light, they have a heavenly Father, and that grace was there to help them because the Lord was kind of telling them the obvious, you are the light of the world. Now, traditionally, we always think, well, isn't Jesus the light of the world? Well, he is, but where is he living? And I really felt the Lord just impressing on my heart, even a couple weeks ago, to get this concept down inside of our hearts. Now, I know on Sunday, Pastor Gary had that rope. How many were here and saw that? Who wasn't here and didn't see the rope? Let me just say. Okay, it was just, was it 100 foot or it was 50 foot? 50 foot rope, all white, and it represents your life. And it went almost out the door. And in the very beginning, it had a little black cord, and that represents your life. And then past that black cord is eternity. And that was the shortest thing that we're going to do in eternity is live our life here. But it's going to count for so much because it's beginning your relationship with the Lord. It's starting out in faith, and it's you saying, I'm going to give it all for you, Jesus. You know, and that sweet fragrance, that sweet sacrifice just goes throughout all eternity. So it's a very cool idea. I thought, wow, that helped me. So you are the light of the world. It's not on. There is no light. When there's no light in us, until the Lord comes inside of our hearts and gives us light. So, and there are certain characteristics to light too. you know, it doesn't matter how dark it is, wherever the light shines, people are going to see it. And very similar to the salt, you know, light has certain things that it doesn't have to try to be something. It just is. So how do we get this lamp turned on? We need the current going through it to get it going. How do we get the light going on in our lives? We accept the Lord into our hearts. So this lamp has to accept Jesus into his heart before the light will come on, so to speak. kind of silly, but it says that you are the light of the world. And a city set on a hill, as I say, here, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, I know as a new believer, I wanted to do this. But also as a new believer, I felt the pressure on me, like, I've got to be salt. I've got to be light. You know, that person I don't talk to about Jesus, he may die 20 minutes from now and go to hell. So I got to talk to everybody, and I just felt that pressure. And we're not God. The Holy Spirit has things under control, and he's living inside of us. And oftentimes, he'll put things on our heart, sometimes in advance, sometimes not in advance, and we have to be prepared, because sometimes it's just like on the spot, you get something and you see the person and you really got to kind of go and act. And sometimes I've missed that, and other times I've missed it, and then I kind of step back and I say, okay, how can I handle this in the future? How can I get flowing in the Holy Spirit right away? And, you know, you develop a plan, a strategy where the Holy Spirit and you can kind of work together on something. So when the Lord comes into our lives, we are salt and light. We are meant to affect people around us. And he gives us that freedom, and he helps us to do that. So when we get born again, when we come to know Jesus as our Savior, you know, it says that he clothes us with a robe of righteousness. Now, if we could just pretend this is like a beautiful white robe with like gold trim going around it, and when we get born again, we put this, he puts this on us. It says he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so he's made us, he's basically took his righteousness and gave it to us. Hallelujah. You know, so that's why we're different people. We're no longer the same people anymore, because God is in our lives. And oftentimes, you know, let's say we're in contact with people, they don't always, this is something that's happened in the spiritual. Like when we get born again, all of a sudden, I'm going to hold this above my head, all of a sudden a light doesn't shine on us to show everybody, to show the whole world that we're now a Christian. You know what I mean? But we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Wherever we go, he's with us, that light. So in the spirit, that's noticeable. That can't go without notice. You know, God living inside of us. We can walk into a dark house. God's living inside of us. We can go in a crowd of people. God's living inside of us. You know, and that his presence is there. I don't know how much plainer to really say that, but he's with us, and that's what's happening in the spirit. So, but he makes us, he clothes us with his righteousness. He really transforms us. And he's constantly working to transform us into his image. Okay, but when we come to know the Lord, when we come to accept him, we don't oftentimes see ourselves like this. And there's a remedy for that, and that's spending time with Him. Because He commands us that He says that I'm the bread of life. And He says that you're supposed to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So that's something that we do on a daily basis. Just like we eat physically, we really need to be eating spiritually. You know? And I feel guilty of that sometimes when I think, wow, I just wasted a whole bunch of time. You know? And I'm not like constantly reading the Word of God, and nor am I saying that this is something that it's pressure on you, that if you're not doing something like that, that something is wrong. But when you get to the end of the day, you get up in the morning and you got a few minutes, the Lord puts something on your heart, or if you're sitting at your, you know, in your office, you know, eating your lunch, you know, and you think, oh, maybe I should look at the Word of God. Or during the day, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart to do certain things, you know, do those things. Just encourage you. You know, sometimes it's, for me, it's praying in the Spirit on my way to work, or it's singing worship, or it's just quoting God's word. You know, it's a different mix-up every time, because God is different. You know, and I'm seeking to have that contact and that presence with Him, because I know that's how I grow. You know, with Him having contact with me, and so I invite Him. And He never disappoints. So oftentimes, this is the way that we are in the Spirit. We're clothed with righteousness, and He loves us. But oftentimes, this is not how we see ourselves, because we're in the flesh, and we get in the flesh. And we get thoughts from the enemy. We get thoughts from ourselves. We're not worthy, or we can't do this, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't have the strength anymore, or whatever the reason. Oftentimes, we don't see who we really are. Oftentimes, we see us as we were with the old man. Now, I'm putting on this ratty old sweatshirt, which is, you can see it's ripped, but it's not just ripped in one place. It's ripped in multiple places. In fact, there's not even a collar on this anymore. And see, the sleeves are ripped. And I would have thrown this away except for one reason. It's not mine. So how can you throw something away that's not yours? You need to give it back to the person. And I thought I almost lost it. So I couldn't bring it in for this illustration, but oftentimes we see ourselves the way we were in the world, and that's how we judge ourselves, and we judge our situations, and we come in contact with people, and this is how we see ourselves. We see ourselves in the old man, and there's something that the Lord, how does this look, you guys? It is warm, but there is a remedy, and it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this transformation will not happen unless you are involved with it. You know, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is a reasonable expectation that the Lord has for you, that you come to school. You know, you're in first grade, you come to class. When you graduate, you don't say, well, I graduated from high first grade. You know, I'm done with school. No, you go to second grade. You know, and then when you're through with that, you go to third grade. And you keep going because this is God's reasonable expectation for you. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He doesn't want you to stay stuck in the old man stage. He wants you to stay in the righteousness stage. So this is a process that takes time, you know, because our mind oftentimes is set on the ways of the world. And we have to turn our gaze as best we can on a daily basis to Jesus, to the one that's most beautiful. And I think most of us have a pretty good start on that in here. So I just encourage you to continue with that. So I'm going to pull off the old man, and I'm going to put on the new man, which is his righteousness. All right. Do you like the righteousness look better? All right. Okay. And I just have a few more scriptures just to share with you that in 1 Corinthians 14, I'll just read a couple of the first verses here, 1 through 4. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For everyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Okay. So I'm not teaching a lesson on tongues tonight, but very briefly, there is a ministry gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation. And there is a Holy Spirit baptism from Jesus, who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire, and he gives you a prayer language. And the prayer language is your speaking mysteries to God. Now, before I came to know the Lord, okay, before I had the Holy Spirit living inside me, somebody could walk up to me and say, you really need to be born again because it's so great. And I wouldn't have any concept of that, just like if I've never eaten peanut butter and jelly in my life, and somebody says, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's great. Yeah, I wouldn't even know what they're talking about. Okay, so the fact that the Lord says you must be born again must be a good thing. And I didn't necessarily understand that, but I knew I needed to come to the Lord and pray and make a commitment to follow the Lord. Okay, when I did that, bang, the Holy Spirit comes in. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So the fact that Jesus told me to do that, I now can trust him and say, well, he didn't leave me wrong on there. Anything else he tells me to do, he's not going to leave me wrong. So Jesus has a Holy Spirit baptism, which baptism means to immerse, means to cover up. You know, when we're baptized with water, if you've gone down to the pool with us, the person actually goes in the water and is totally covered by water 100%. Okay, and then they come up. Okay, and that's what the Holy Spirit baptism is. When Jesus does it, he totally covers you with the Holy Spirit on the outside. He's already on the inside, because it says in Ephesians 1:14, he's given us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given us a down payment of the Holy Spirit. So we got that inside of us. It's transformed us. And the Holy Spirit baptism comes on us. And it's meant to enable us to be witnesses throughout the earth. Okay. And then one of the things he gives along with that is the prayer language. So you can pray to him in another language. And how do you know what you're saying? Well, sometimes you don't need to know what you're saying, because it may not be any of your business. Or it may be hard to get past this. You know, let's say I don't like Pastor Gary, but I work with him. and I know I need to pray for him, and I don't want to because I don't like him. So the Holy Spirit can bypass that, and it helps to soften my heart oftentimes. You know, it changes my mind, changes attitudes. So I would just encourage you to do that. Is sometimes I don't pray that much because I forget about it. But I'm just reminding you that these are gifts that will help you have victory in your life. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." I always like this verse. Humble yourself, and God will lift you up. What an honor. You know, that he puts that in our hands, that we can say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do that." You know, and I don't have to say it necessarily with any expectation that he's going to lift me up, but it's just a promise that comes along with obeying the word of God. In verse 7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Okay. We don't need to be carrying around anything that can weigh us down in these final days. You know, pressure, the enemy wants to bring pressure in to divert your attention away from Jesus and onto the world. And just like Peter's coming to Jesus. He's just looking right at him. And then somebody claps, and there's a distraction. And somebody claps in the third row, whose name is Dennis, and there's a distraction. So it says here, verse 8, "Be alert and a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same sufferings." Okay, so the Lord is warning us, just like the Lord warned Peter, says, "You're going to deny me three times." He told them, the disciples in the garden, at least the three that were closest to him, Peter, James, and John, you know, "Pray lest you enter into temptation." So we have God's Holy Spirit inside of us. We don't know what's beyond the present, but God does. And he'll help us be prepared for what's ever coming ahead. And the only way we can do that is by listening to the shepherd of our soul that lives inside of us. So these are things the Lord is encouraging us to do in these last days. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "And we beseech you, brothers, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very, very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Okay, so the very key words in verse 13 are love and have peace. So when you love, peace is going to follow. Verse 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brothers, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." So it seems like we have some different aspects of ministry. You know, we don't treat everybody the same. We treat everybody in love the same, as far as that goes. But some people we exhort, some people we warn, some people we comfort, some people we support, and some people we just have to be patient with. So, you know, these are all good things that the Lord is using to perfect us and to bring us to a place of his grace where he wants us to be. and says, verse 15, see that none render evil for evil. Boy, that's real easy to say. Don't get even. Somebody does something to you, don't feel like you got to get even. Okay. You know, that's the old man. And we all have areas where the Lord is cultivating and fertilizing and working on to cause growth in our lives. And lots of times, if any of you, which I do at times, have problems with any of these things in Scripture, like implementing them into your life, just spend some time, you know, take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and just read it. Read it slow. Read like a verse and just pray and read it over and spend some time with it until God speaks something to your heart. And then go to the next verse. Don't be in a rush. You know, don't feel like, okay, I got to be salt and light, so I got to spend time with the Lord. So I got 15 minutes set aside, so I'm going to read this chapter in the Bible. You know, it would be better if you just took some time and just sat back and just praised him, just worshiped, you know, and then at the very end, read a scripture because he's going to move, because you're saying the relationship is more important than me, not the act of trying to please you or trying to get some type of list or criteria done. So, it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Okay, some good things coming up here. It says, rejoice evermore. I guess that means rejoice all the time. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So that's what I encourage you to do. All these scriptures are not new to any of you. But realize that we are in a very special time. You know, we might be at the very end. We probably are at the very end of that little black part on that white rope where we're just going to like step over into eternity. And you know, it's going to be massively cool because we're already believers to be transformed, to go with the Lord. When he comes back, we're going to be taken up and we're going to be changed in an instant of time. And then there's the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Wow. You get to come back. How cool is that? So we're right at the end. So I just would encourage you, with everything that you have, give that to the Lord. Whatever he tells you to do, just encourage you to do that. You know, don't worry if it's too small, you know, if it's a huge thing, you know, do what you can. Because you're the one, you're not responsible for doing the miraculous. You're not responsible for saving anybody. Only Jesus can save. You're not responsible for healing anybody. Only the Master can heal. Okay? You're not responsible for delivering anybody. Okay? Only he has the power to do that. But we have the words. We have the encouragement. We have an arm. We can hug somebody. You know, we can do whatever he tells us to do and trust him that his power and presence is going to be there to change lives, just like he's changed ours. Hallelujah. Boy, that baby's getting way more attention than me. Pastor Gary, I'm going to pray unless you have something to say. All right. Father God, we just want to be in a place where we're used by you. And Lord, we know we are used by you on a daily basis already. And we accept the Holy Spirit's teaching just to show us, to guide us, to lead us, and to encourage us in the things that you've called us to do. Thank you, Father, for your power and presence in every way. And we love you so much. And we say with our hearts that you are most beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.